Let's open our Bibles this evening to the 23rd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 23. In this chapter we have recorded for us the death and burial of Sarah, Abraham's wife, reminding us that we are vessels of clay, though we have been given special promises, just as Abraham and Sarah. Though we walk in faith and enjoy the power and protection and provision of that faith, a part of the reality of that life of faith is that it goes beyond this life. And this life does have its end. It has a purpose, but it is temporary. It matters how we live this life. And as we learn to live by faith, we'll enter into the fullness of God's promises that go beyond the grave. But meanwhile, we still have to deal with the grave. We read in the New Testament that the sting of death has been removed, and that's been partially fulfilled and will be more fully fulfilled at the resurrection. A measure of the sting of death has certainly been removed because we have a hope. And that hope gives us joy in the midst of sorrow. The sorrow's still there, so the sting's not totally removed. But one day there'll be no more death, and there'll be no more tears. And then the prophecy will be fully fulfilled. The promise will be fully fulfilled. But meanwhile, we have to deal with scenes like Abraham had to deal with in the beginning of verse 1 of Genesis 23. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth, and he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price, as property for a burial place among you. Now Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will give it, please hear me, I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heath as property for a burial place. Sarah had lived a long and full life. I don't care to live that long, but the Lord has our days numbered, doesn't he? He knows. He's got the race course set, and he knows the end. For some, it's a shorter race course than others. But for all who look to him in faith, there is a reward that he will honor those who have honored him in this life. Sarah had her faults, as we have looked at the accounts. All of God's people do. All of the men and women of faith of the Old Testament, New Testament, God is very open about their faults. They are vessels of clay, but it is their faith that God honors, and it is their faith that leads them back to repentance. It's their faith that leads them to righteousness. And Sarah was certainly a woman of faith. God called her in Genesis 17, verse 15, called her a princess, someone to be honored. In Hebrews 11 and verse 11, she's listed there among the heroes of faith. The Holy Spirit recognized Sarah as a woman of faith. The Apostle Peter named her as a good example and said, "You Christian women, follow the example of Sarah." And then Paul himself used her, as we studied in Galatians 4, as an illustration of the grace of God. So obviously, God thought well of Sarah. She lived a life of faith. She was a good wife. She was a good mother. She feared God. She loved Abraham, and she loved Isaac. All of that is seen in, though we're not given great details of that love and devotion, but if you can stop and think of what Abraham asked Sarah to do, to leave everything and everyone she knew, to go to a place that they didn't know anything about, because God told him to go. Men and women of faith, men of faith that have asked their wives to do that for whatever reason the Lord orders or directs, understands the value of such a loving mate. One, it takes faith. It's a different calling, different kind of, different aspect of faith, same faith, but to follow what God has called you to. And in this case, Sarah was to follow Abraham. And that took faith in God, and she did that. Abraham mourned her, and he wept for her. I find that phrase interesting. I find it that it gives us insight into what God feels is appropriate at the loss of a loved one, especially when we consider a spouse. Abraham mourned and wept for her, and they were real. Sarah had been at Abraham's side all through the joys and sorrows of life. They'd had a very long life together, and in a life like that, you experience things that you don't share with anyone else but your spouse. And so his tears were real. His mourning was real. There is no shame in the Christian mourning or crying for over the death of our loved ones. Sometimes the overjealous and those who may try to be spiritual, sometimes they say things that really aren't helpful or aren't appropriate. When someone loses their spouse, and we often use the phrase, "I'm sorry for your loss," some overjealous individuals would say that that's not right, because you can't lose something when you know where it is. Now, the thought behind that, of course, is that a believer that has died is not lost. We know exactly where they are. They're in the presence of the Lord. And that, of course, is true. That is scriptural. So the individual's not lost. But the reality is, those of us that remain have lost something. And to deny that is not being spiritual. It's being naive. We have lost. Abraham, for example, suffered the loss of Sarah's daily presence. That was something he was going to miss. Missed her counsel, her encouragement, her honest and sometimes necessary criticism, her friendship and the fellowship and the things that they shared over a lifetime. Abraham was going to miss that. He definitely lost something. Sarah wasn't lost, but Abraham lost something that couldn't be replaced. Now we know, as we continue the story of Abraham, we know he later remarried. But that wasn't to replace Sarah. That was simply to minister to Abraham's needs and future needs, present and future needs at that time. But that couldn't replace the lifetime that he spent with Sarah. So his sorrow was real, and our sorrow is real at the death of a loved one. Even though they've died in saving faith and we know exactly where they are, there is a loss, and we have to call upon the Lord to fill that void. But we have promises in the Word of God that help us in that process. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, this familiar passage, but let's read it again so we are reminded. Some have recently had to confront this exact same experience that Abraham is experiencing lately. Death is very much a part of our experience, and we need to know how to deal with it. Tears, they're real. They do not disappoint or dishonor the Lord when we weep for our loved ones. But we need to immediately begin to find our strength and our comfort in the promises of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So here there's a distinction made. Christians have sorrow at death, but it is different than those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sorrow is without hope. It is deep and it is inconsolable. But the believer in Jesus Christ who loses a loved one who's died in saving faith has sorrow, but in the midst of that sorrow is a certain expectation that brings joy. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who fall asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We have comfort in the midst of sorrow. We have hope. We have life in the midst of death. Our thoughts and our concerns are not for the one that's passed in saving faith. We have lost their companionship. We've lost all that they daily provided in relationship for us. We've lost that. But we don't weep for the individual. How many have been to funerals of people that were unsaved, or at least families that were unsaved? How many have been to that kind of funeral and just witnessed the overwhelming despair at death? It's sad, isn't it? Saints, I'm glad I don't ever have to know that sorrow for those that have passed in saving faith. That truth gives us strength and comfort to cause us to know that that individual is not suffering. That individual is not lost, but that individual is in the presence of the Lord rejoicing, and we rejoice together with him. Our sorrow, of course, has much to do with our own losses, the void that's left. But nevertheless, even that sorrow is mitigated by the promises of the truth of God's word. God has promised to be a father to the fatherless. God has promised to be a husband to the widow. In other words, he will provide. He will give the strength, emotional and physical and spiritual, to provide what you need in the moment that you need it. Christ has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. No matter what else or who else we have not lost the presence of the one who has committed himself to our eternal well-being. Saints, that brings comfort, doesn't it? That is a solid anchor when we face the kinds of things that Abraham had to face at the death of Sarah. The business transaction here that Abraham had to enter into, this is always a part of death, unpleasant part, actually. Those of you that have had to deal with the death of a loved one, you know the reality of the business that needs to be taken care of immediately when one passes away. Right in the midst of your grief, at the peak of your grief, you've got decisions that need to be made. And that in and of itself is not all bad, because sometimes it helps you kind of get up and go and keep going. But it's been that way forever. Abraham had to immediately find a place to bury Sarah. And the business transaction here, those who understand the customs of that day tell us that this is such a typical picture of how things were done in that time. Abraham's very purchase of a burial cave in Canaan was actually an act of faith, because in that day the custom was for you to bury your loved ones in their native land. So in other words, if Abraham was going to follow the custom of the day, he was going to have to somehow embalm, or at least take the remains, the bones of Sarah, and bury them back in Mesopotamia. That's what he would have done if he was going to just go with the custom of the day. But Abraham believed what God said concerning the land of Canaan. He said, "Abraham, this land is your land. I give it to you and to your descendants." So the very fact that he bought a burial cave in Canaan was an act of faith. This is my native land. This is the land that God has given me. And so this is where he buried his beloved Sarah. We can notice first in the business transaction that Abraham had a good testimony among his ungodly neighbors. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:12. I think this is a detail that we can't ignore, and something that you don't hear taught too often. But it is such a shame that how so many Christians bring reproach to the gospel because of their shady business deals, because of their lack of integrity in their job and their careers. They try to separate, well, this is my church life and this is my business life, and the two shall never meet. And they have different ways of conducting themselves at church, and then in the business world, it's a different thing. And it's not only businessmen and careers, but people in their day-to-day family business can also be crooked and lack integrity. And saints, it's a shame. And not only is it a shame, it's a sin. It is disobedience to God's instruction to you as a child of God. Abraham had a good testimony among his ungodly neighbors. In 1 Thessalonians 4:12, there are a number of scriptures, but this one says it pretty plainly. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. We are to walk properly among those who are outside the family of God. In other words, those who aren't saved. Some Christians feel, well, if a person's not saved, we have every right to take advantage of him because they're Christ rejectors and they're going to lose everything anyway, so we have every right to take advantage of them. Quite the opposite is true. We are to be merciful. We are to be compassionate. We are to go the extra mile to do what's right in the sight of God and the sight of men. And saints, if that's not how you conduct your business, then you need to get on your face before God and say, God, help me. I want to bring you glory and not shame. Now, the bargaining process here to me is almost comical. And again, those who understand the custom say it's very typical. It's almost like going to a car dealership, which we don't have any car dealers, do we? So I need to be careful what I say here. I hate doing business with those whose goal is to try to take advantage of you. But this is exactly what was taking place with Abraham, who was just trying to find a place to bury his beloved Sarah. He was honest and he was open. Abraham was. He told them what he needed. He told them what he wanted. He needed a burial cave to bury his wife, and that's all. He wasn't looking to buy an estate. Just a cave where I can lay my wife, where she can be buried. He knew that this man named Ephron had an ideal burial cave, and so he asked for that. Now, Ephron threw a series of very polite but of very insincere statements, revealed that he would be willing to sell the cave to Abraham, but he would also have to buy the entire field that surrounded the cave. Abraham just needed the little cave. Ephron. He saw an opportunity here. All right, I'm going to sell you all the field around it just so you can have your little cave. And then I'm going to charge you more than what both of them are worth. Those who understand the price here, they say that the price was enormously high, even for the field that was included. But Abraham, we notice he doesn't get angry. He simply pays the price. He accepted Ephraim's terms and he bought the land. I believe that this was also part of Abraham's faith. Abraham knew that one day he was going to own all of it. The land of Canaan was his because it was God's first. And God says, I'll give it to you and your descendants. So Abraham wasn't going to complain about the injustice that he had just experienced. And he had experienced an injustice here. This man took advantage of Abraham, who was in a desperate situation, who was overwhelmed with grief, and this man took advantage of him. Does that happen today? People take advantage of people that are victims of such sadness? It does, doesn't it? But for the child of God, we need to be careful about always complaining about the injustices of life. Now, we're not ignorant of injustice. Abraham knew he was getting skinned here. We're not ignorant of those things, but when God allows these things, we're not to waste our time murmuring and complaining, because after all, who are we trusting to take care of us? After all, who is it that we say is our protector and our provider? Now, if we believe that, does murmuring and complaining about injustice, does that... Is that an appropriate expression of faith in the faithfulness of God? It's not, is it? 1 Peter 1. We understand that this life is soon to pass away. But our treasures cannot be taken from us. We cannot be robbed of the things that really matter. Now, I'm not advocating being ignorant or naive in your business transactions. Quite the opposite. God will give you wisdom. Be prudent. But when it's all said and done, when we do everything right, there are times when people treat us unjustly, don't they? But our joy and our rest is in knowing that nobody can take from us what has eternal value. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jump over to Matthew 6. I know these are familiar passages, but if you're like me, you need to be reminded of these things because we so quickly get emotionally distraught over business transactions, over injustices, over things, the stock market and how your retirement fund is bleeding and leaking like a sieve. You can focus on those things and just become overwhelmed if you don't remember God has something eternal in mind. And these things, once again, God will give you wisdom. I'm not talking about being stupid with your finances or with your money. God will give you wisdom to do what you can and what you should. But when it's all said and done, our joy and our peace is in knowing that we have an eternal inheritance. And this is what Jesus reminded us of in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do we lay up treasures in heaven that cannot be destroyed or robbed from us? By doing the will of God. And if we would spend more time and energy focusing on what the will of God is and on doing that will, we'd have a lot less time and energy to murmur and complain and worry and fret and all the things that come so natural to our flesh. May the Lord help us to remember that we have something that goes beyond the grave. Abraham and Sarah's hope didn't end here. We've studied their life, and now it comes to an end. But God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Sarah is still enjoying and reaping the benefits of her faith. In this life, it came to an end. And death is an inescapable part of life, at least until Jesus comes. But we look to life, not death. And that helps us to deal and cope with the reality of the mortality of our loved ones and of our own as we look, are faced with it in this life.